going to look today. The title of the of our lesson is 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon. Any number of things can be going on at 3 o'clock. People are going 90 different directions, you know, 100 miles an hour, you know, and on a Saturday afternoon. And I just want to speak a few weeks ago. Was up here at the building and heard kids playing over at the park and softball and all that stuff. 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, people are doing their errands. That is built up, their honeydews and so forth is built up during the week, during work. And some people on Saturday afternoon, they may just be taking a nap. You know, that's a good time for a nap on a Saturday afternoon. Maybe doing yard work or whatever. Some of the denominations I know of, some of the religious denominations, are getting ready to worship on Saturday afternoon. Vainly, in vain, as Jesus says, do they worship me? But lots of different things are going on a Saturday afternoon. A few weeks ago, we came to the building for a baptism. That was our Saturday afternoon. Jeff Craig had been baptized as a child, and he, I don't remember if it was a call or a text. I think you text me, and we get talking. Jeff was baptized as a teenager, and for a long time he's been questioning the authority of his baptism, and he was baptized in a Four Square Gospel Church. He believed in God. That's good. Lived a pretty good life. That's good. But wasn't baptized right. He remembered it was immersion, but it wasn't for a remission of sins. There's a lot of religious groups out there that believe in baptism. Something that you do after you're saved. That you're saved when you take Jesus into your heart. They say. I don't see anywhere in the New Testament where a person is saved by just believing in Jesus. Cornelius, the centurion, was a devout man, believed in God, worshiped, offered prayers, offered alms, donated of his money, but he wasn't saved till he was baptized. Same with on the day of Pentecost. Says in Jerusalem there were devout Jews that had come from all over to observe the Passover feast, but they weren't saved. In fact, they realized they were lost, and when they realized they were lost, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter responded in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That had been gnawing at Jeff. That he wasn't baptized in the proper way. He had since grown to know quite a bit of the Bible. He was being raised in a morally right home, married a very godly wife who helps keep you on the straight and narrow. It's a big help. We did it Saturday because he worked on Sunday. Didn't want to wait. That says a lot. The fact that, and we're not talking just about Jeff, this is about baptism. You're not saved till you're baptized. You can be as good of a person as you can be. You're not saved until you're baptized. The water, Jesus' blood washes over us and cleanses us from our sin. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And he didn't want to wait. We didn't put it on a schedule. Well, Jeff, let's wait till, you know, we'll do it once. We do baptisms every quarter. First quarter of the month. First Sunday of the quarter. No. Immediately. Jeff lives in Pahrump. I was willing to drive to Pahrump, Jeff. He says, I'll come in. I was praying for his safe travels. Few people were called to witness and share in this wonderful, glorious event. Baptism. People cannot be taught wrong and baptized right. You can't say, have you been baptized? Oh yeah, I was baptized when I was a baby. Well, that's not proper baptism. Because you've got to know what you're doing. You're being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Is there any baby that has got sins to be forgiven? And it was immediately. Don't get on a schedule. We'll wait. We do a minimum of 6 at a time to where we can get an assembly line going. Believe it or not, there are some religious bodies that do that. When we get to a certain number, or we'll do it on a certain day, once a quarter, that's baptism. You don't get on a schedule. In Acts 2:41, on the day of Pentecost, after Peter preached that wonderful gospel sermon, it says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Not everybody that heard the word received it. There's difference in the auditory process of hearing the word and receiving it. I get it. It had an impact on me. Those who gladly received the word were baptized. Then, Peter didn't put them on a schedule. The Ethiopian eunuch, as Philip had been studying with him, it says, now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Right then, you know what? You know what, Philip? When I get back home to Ethiopia, I think I'll obey what I just learned and be baptized. No, he pulled over. We're talking about baptism. Well, here's water. Is there anything that keeps me from being baptized? If you believe with Jesus, in Jesus with all your heart, of course you can. How does a little baby do that? How does a little baby believe in Jesus with all of their heart? How does a little baby make that confession? How does a dead person make the confession that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? There are religious groups that will baptize. They will baptize X person for Y person that's already dead. Let that roll around for a second. We might as well just have the baptistry going all, you know, to make sure everybody that we know and love is baptized. I'll baptize for somebody. In Acts 16, we see immediately with Lydia and her household, shortly after Paul had taught them, her and her household were baptized. The Philippian jailer, after Paul had taught him and his household, immediately they were baptized. We arrived at the building, and Van and Celia were here cleaning the building. Didn't know they were going to be here. We just opened up the door and here they are. Kind of startled us as much as it did them. They got to share in this wonderful event. They got to witness it. And we go to perform the baptism. There was water in the baptistry. Thank you, Kurt and Preston. Just always take it for granted that if somebody wants to be baptized, there's going to be water in it. That says a lot. She hath done what she could. We used that verse last week talking about Mary anointing Jesus, and Jesus praised her. She's done what she could. We showed up today to a nice, clean building to be able to worship our God, to sing praises, and it wasn't a mess. We showed up for the baptism on that Saturday afternoon at 3:00, and we saw the evidence of that. The people that come in, the people that organize it. Sam, thanks for organizing all that to make sure the building's clean, that we have a nice place to sit, and that there's water in the baptistry. Clean water, by the way. Didn't have to use some dirty river. And our passage, our main theme last week from Numbers, is it a small thing what we do? The service we give to God, is it a small thing? Some people felt it was. I want to do your job, Korah said to Moses. We want to do what you do. Moses, is it a small thing what you do? All the preparation that goes on into getting this accomplished, is it a small thing? Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And just a few verses later, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Jesus spoke extensively on that. When you fast, do it for God, not to be seen by men. When you pray, pray to God, not to be seen by men. When you do a charitable act, well, let me make sure people are watching. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. We heard Jeff's confession. He made the confession that everybody that has ever been baptized and saved has made. The same confession that the Ethiopian eunuch did. Philip asked him, "Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?" Jeff verbally made that confession. We baptized him. But you know what? We make that confession daily. Not only verbally, but the way we live our lives, the way we conduct ourselves, we're making that proclamation on a daily basis. Or let me put it this way, I hope we're doing that. I hope I'm making, to all the people I come into contact with, I hope they're hearing or seeing that confession daily. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, Jesus tells the crowd, he says, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men," not just a mental acknowledgement of God, "him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." And the flip side of that coin is, verse 33, "But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." We use this verse a moment ago about the confession. The Ethiopian eunuch made that great confession. He confessed his belief to Philip. As Jeff was getting out of the water, I started to go toward the side. Sam says, "Hold on. Raider's going to be baptized." They'd come up to support Jeff. They were there watching and sharing in Jeff's great day. Sam says, "You got a 2-for-1 deal today." I don't think he actually said that, but in fact, I think I actually said that. The family was there to support Jeff. Raider's been studying for quite a while. He's been studying at home. The family has family Bible studies regularly. And I think he's heard in the lessons taught from the pulpit maybe a couple of times about how important baptism is. From here, he was raised in a godly home and actually witnessed his brother Puka being baptized about a year ago. Watching someone be baptized has an impact. I remember before I was baptized, watching people go through an event like that. And even before I was baptized, I realized that's something very special. I was watching the reaction of the people, how glad they were when I was younger, when somebody was baptized. Not only that, Ramon was one of the people here to support Jeff. Ramon had just been baptized a few months ago. And now he's seeing it replicated. How special that is. Here's our scripture reading again. Then those who gladly received the word were baptized. Not only Jeff, but Rader also had heard the word and it had an impact on him. And he had decided to be baptized. Acts 4:4, we see, however, many of those who heard the word believed. Not all, many. Wouldn't it be nice if just hearing the word would push that person over the edge and make that decision? Not everybody that hears the word chooses to be baptized. And the number of men came to be about 5,000. In Acts 18:8, then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And you look at this second part. This is the gospel being preached in real time. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. That shows you the progression of salvation. You're not going to believe unless you hear. We're there in Romans 10 this morning in the auditorium Bible class. You're not going to hear unless somebody preaches it to you. And then once you believe, if you truly believe, you're going to be baptized. If you received that true word in. A lot of people hear the word, but they don't gladly receive it. 2 Timothy, this applies to Rader also. Applies to many of us being raised in a godly family. Paul wrote to Timothy in his last letter, and in chapter 1, verse 5, says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Paul's remembering back at the influence Timothy's family had on him. No doubt Paul added to that influence. You can't be around Paul without, you know, Paul took Timothy under his wing and mentored him, taught him, showed him examples. Paul didn't teach him out of a void of nothing. His family, the women in his family had taught. Timothy's father was a Greek, was a non-believer. As far as, wouldn't it be nice, one of those unleft, untold stories that maybe eventually Timothy's father eventually became a Christian. We don't know that though. But we do know that Timothy had teaching and training from mom and grandma. Just like Rader, his older brother, believes, was baptized. His mom, his dad, his uncles, his aunts had influence on him. After the two baptisms, people dried off. I want you to know me and Jeff did not leave any loose hair in the baptistry. There's no loose hairs straggling in there. We sang some songs of praise to God for the event, for the influence the word has. We offered a prayer and all went our separate ways to come back less than 24 hours from then to worship as brothers and sisters together, to commune with God together. We're very glad to be able to broadcast online for those that can't be here together. Tracy and Marion has taken advantage of that the last month with Tracy healing. Barbara, when she's not feeling well. Joyce, when she's not feeling well, takes advantage of that. Our friends, the Lunsfords, they can go to church. They still watch us. They call you guys their second family. And then we came back the next day. A lot of things were going on Saturday afternoon at 3. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. How could you not go on your way rejoicing after being saved? It was a positive influence for all those that were here to witness it. I know you had a good day afterwards. Raider, I know you had a good day afterwards. We had a good day that observed it. It encouraged, inspired us to do more. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly. After Peter told them what they must do to be saved, and they did it, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And we're still doing it 2,000 years later. Just a simple Saturday afternoon. Many people playing, many people doing errands, many people maybe taking naps in the world. But a few Saturday afternoons ago at 3 o'clock, two souls were being saved. Amen. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, if you have not been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, if you have been baptized maybe in a wrong way, as an infant in another religious body, didn't even know what you were doing. If you need prayers of the congregation, please let us know so we can pray with and for you. If you're looking for a church home, if you've been looking around, I know not too many weeks go by that we don't get visitors that are new to town and are looking around for a sound congregation. If you're looking for a sound congregation, I hope you found one in us. Sound and loving. That's the two descriptions of this congregation, of you people. Sound and loving. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while we're led in song. Let's stand and sing.